Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a beautiful name. Amen. Hallelujah. There is no one else I'd rather praise. There's no one else I'd rather give my life to. Hallelujah. Because if you give your life to Jesus, it's a return that will never, ever end. Amen. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're excited to be here tonight, and I'm excited to be able to come up here and speak to you. But I'm also excited because I didn't get to say my two cents. But I love Sister Vicky. We worked together for a few years, and she's back with us in town, and we're glad to have her, and I'm just glad about that. She told me she was back because she wanted to come back for a sandwich from that sandwich place she enjoys. And no, I'm just teasing, but she is back for Sam and Kelly's wedding, and I'm so glad that to have Sam and Kelly getting married, because I don't know if you know this, but I'm Sam's uncle, and Sam growing up has always been such a good kid, and he's made such good choices, and I think that he's made a good choice in Kelly. Kelly's such a wonderful girl, and she loves God, and she's been such a blessing to our children's ministry. Both of them have. And I'm so proud of both of them. So I just wanted to say that I love them both, and I'm excited to be able to come and celebrate with them. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. So Pastor's in a meeting right now, so I get to say whatever I want up here. So actually, he put Bishop up here to make sure I behave, though. And Brother Caskey's over here, too. So praise God. But I love our pastor. Amen. And recently, he's been challenging us to get more focused on our relationship with God. And I'm excited about that, because that is what really matters at the end of the day. Amen. We go through our life, and we can get bombarded by life. We can get bombarded by work. We can get bombarded by the cares of the world. But at the end of the day, our relationship with God is what matters most. Amen. At the end of this life, when you go to meet Jesus, you can't take anything with you but what you have gained in the spiritual realm. Amen? Praise God. So our pastor's been challenging to get more focused on our relationship with God, and that's awesome. About having vision, and I believe in vision. Vision's important. Last Wednesday he preached about this. And we need to have vision, because the Bible says without vision, the people perish. Amen. We need to have vision. Vision is important. And getting some direction with God. How many of you feel like you have a direction with God, or how many of you feel like you can use a little more? You don't have to raise your hand, but everyone can always use direction from God. The children of Israel, the Bible says in Exodus, followed a pillar of fire. That was following after God's direction. Amen. They woke up daily not knowing what direction they were going to be going in. And they sought after that direction. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. Feeling pressure. All right, I'm teasing. They sought after God's direction. And we still do this to this day. We wake up in the morning. We seek after the Lord. God, what would you have me do today? Who would you have me talk to? Where would you have me go? Seeking after God's direction. Praise God. Well, tonight, I feel that God is leading me down a similar path. I want to try to complement what Pastor's been talking about. I wasn't here on Sunday to hear what he talked about. My wife and I were blessed to be able to go to Appleton, to Brother Sharp's church, and we got to preach a special service there, and we had a great time. Brother Sharp had us out Friday night. We did a kids' service. And Saturday, we did a teacher's training, which some of our teachers are familiar with here, which involves food, so I was blessed. I actually went into there. I was like, I'm not going to eat this morning. And then I started looking, and I'm like, oh, man, they had biscuits and gravy. I was like, woo. I was in trouble. And then Sunday, we had a couple different services that we ministered, and God moved in a great way, and I'm thankful for that. And I thought that one of the most beautiful things at Brother Sharp's church was how blended it was. And if you're not sure what I mean by blended, there was people from all over, all cultures, and I love to see that. I think that that's a beautiful thing at our church, at Calvary Gospel Church. We have so many people representing all cultures, all ways of life. And I believe that that's what it's going to be like in heaven. Amen? Praise God. So we were, I feel like God is leading me down a similar path and with some of the points of self-development that hopefully will help you, just a few simple tips that if you can apply them right, that can help you to step out and to step up. Amen? Praise God. So the title of my sermon tonight is Building Blocks for a Better You. Now, sometimes in life, we all come to a point where we feel like we're stuck in the mud, maybe, or maybe you just want some change. Maybe you know that you need some change, or maybe you want to change just to better yourself. And I know this came a pivotal point in my life. When I was young, I was born in Texas, and shaping in iniquity. All right. That was okay. All right. I'm sorry. That was a joke. I was born in Texas. I was born to my mother and father who were very hardworking, loving parents who loved God, who taught me to love God. They had a form of godliness in their life, but they didn't have the truth. Amen. As many of us were when we came to the Lord. But I lived my life following after my parents' teaching, and we went to different churches. We left Texas. We moved around to different places. My dad got a job at a company doing a sales position, and that led us around to different places in the United States. And in that, I grew older, and I used to love to goof around a lot in school. I hope my kids aren't listening. I love to goof around a lot. I love attention. I guess I still do, but there was a point in my life where I realized that I better buckle down and get things together, because that old clock just keeps ticking away, and you suddenly realize, whoa, I'm however old, and I'm not sharing that, and you know what? I need to start taking life a little more seriously. So I found myself, my father took a job in Wanakee, Wisconsin, right here in Wanakee, and I found myself working out of school at the place that he was working at, and I realized working there that I did not want to make that a career job. Nothing wrong with it if somebody's, you know, working at a place, at a factory or whatever, there's nothing wrong with that, but that was something that I decided that I did not want to do for the rest of my life. So I started to do some searching, and in that searching, I started to try to emulate some successful people. So I got some books by Steve Jobs, however you pronounce it, and who is now deceased, but he was the founder of Apple. I'm using his product right now. And I also got some books by Bill Gates, you know, because in my mind, these were successful people. I remember finding a book, How to Become a Millionaire. Somebody had actually charted out a course for this, and I read the book. And these books didn't actually tell you how to do it, but what they did was they motivated you. They got you inspired. They showed you what you can do if you get on the right path and making the right choices. And sometimes in our life, we need to come to that point where we need to realize that we need to make the right choices. Amen? So that brings me to my first building block for a better you, and that is motivation. There is great power in motivation. I remember when my wife was giving birth to our children, can be such a painful experience for some, for all the ladies who do that. I couldn't imagine going through that, and I'm not going to try to even downplay that. Ladies, you get respect from me 100%, and I remember, you know, when you're going through that, I remember my wife just talking about focusing on a picture in the room and just really not thinking about anything else and just getting motivated. And I remember the look on her face as the doctor put our oldest daughter in her arms, and she just melted as she started crying immediately. And as the other two children were born, the same reaction, just that immediate bond of love. But that motivation carried her through the pain that she was going through. She didn't care about that. She lost all train of what was happening in the moment because she was motivated. Amen? And I think about sports teams, how they can get motivated to win. And if a sports team can come together and get motivated, they can do great things and overcome great things. And many movies and books have been written about things like this. And I think of even our soldiers fighting in wars. You hear stories about men who have endured traumatic experiences. And why? Because they were motivated. They were motivated. They wanted to see success. And even students. My wife went through college, and I'm proud of her, and she's still going for her master's. She's doing a great job. She's one of the smartest ladies I know. And I'm going to keep saying nice things about her, trying to build her up here. She is, though. She is. And she's a great lady, and she stays motivated. I have a hard time staying focused because I have ADD, so it's easier for her to stay focused in the books and whatnot. But, you know, our students, you know, it's something that you do when you go to college. You have to get motivated because at some point when you're going to college, you're thinking, okay, now my buddies aren't here. You can goof around. You can do whatever you want, or you can buckle down and get through it. So you have to be motivated, right? Or fathers, when somebody breaks in your home, can quickly get motivated to overcome them, no matter what is going on, because you're motivated by your family. So you need to realize that motivation can carry you a long ways. And whether it's you want to see change in your life, whether it's a physical change, I'm sorry, I lost my place, like a diet or a spiritual change, you must get motivated to see a change. Amen? Praise God. So that brings me to my second building block. You need to make a plan. Making a plan is important. Pastor talked about vision again. And you can't make a journey without a plan. My good friend Jim Rivas, who's in the house tonight, just went to Hawaii. And he didn't just blindly get on a plane and go and hope that plane would get there. But he made a plan. And once you get motivated, you need to formulate the plan. Okay, I want change. Now, how am I going to see that change, all right? So you put that plan into place. Before a builder can even build the simplest of buildings, they need to formulate a plan or a blueprint. Even our great YouTube people go to for answers, but you can look at YouTube and you can figure out how to make anything on there, from a doghouse to a deck. But the first thing you need to do is make a plan. How big is the dog going to be that you're going to facilitate this house for, the doghouse for? Or how much money do you want to put into it? Or building a deck, you know, the same thing. What do I want to make it out of? How long do I want it to last? What's the substrate on the ground that we're putting this deck into? All these things you need to consider when you're making your plan. And make sure that your plans for your future align with God's word. Amen? Saul, the Bible tells us, disobeyed God. He got a big head on his shoulders. He was the chosen man by the people. And he went out and he got a big head on his shoulders. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to do things my own way. And he disobeyed God. And that cost him everything. So it's important that when we make our plan, that we make sure that God is at the forefront of that plan. Praise God. Surround yourself with like-minded people. This will help you to go a long ways. There are many people in this world, many people who have the same focuses and goals as you do, and it's important that if you're going to try to attain to become something like a minister, or if you're going to try to be somebody who's going to Bible school, network with people that have the same interests as you do. Whether you're trying to just be a better you. You need to try to surround yourself. When I remember, you know, again, I'll go back to when I was going through my journey with trying to make myself a better me. I remember surrounding and networking and finding people who were interested. I didn't finish that story, but, you know, it was during that time that I was trying to find make myself a better me. That's when God reached in and took me and said, hey, I'm here and I want you to serve me. Praise God. So that was a pivotal point in my life, praise God. So make sure that you're always remembering the bigger picture, too. When you're surrounding yourself with like-minded people, make sure that they're going to encourage you and help you to carry on. Praise God. There's power in unity. Amen. I'm going to say that again. There's power in unity. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to heaven to be with Jesus, and we're all on the same train going there. And when we unite, praise God, the Bible clearly tells us in the upper room what happened when the disciples unified with the people and they had the outpouring of God's Spirit. Throughout the Bible, God has given us example after example that there's power in unity. But I think the greatest example of this is when the disciples aligned with God's plan in the Bible. And not only was the church birthed, but they effectively reached thousands of people. Praise God. I remember that was a key to me seeing my change, surrounding myself with like-minded people. Let's throw a couple stumbling blocks in there. You know, as you're trying to get to be a better you, there's some things you want to avoid. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. A lot of times we think of that as somebody who's getting married, who's with somebody who's not a believer. But that can be just as far as like just hanging out with somebody who's not thinking the same way you are too, right? Somebody who's going to tear you down. So you get the Holy Ghost, you start to live for God, you start to make changes in your life, and you start going back to the bar and hanging out with these people, and they're going to tear you down, and then you figure out, oh, what happened, you know? So I wrote another stumbling block is what's eating you or what's feeding you? There's an old computer saying that said garbage in and garbage out. Whatever you put in your garbage or your computer, whether it's, you know, junk software, that's what you get. And I have a brother-in-law who makes a good living out of people who make mistakes on the computer, who put in cheap software and stuff, and he has to go in and pull it out, and, you know, that's how you get bugs and things. The Bible says it like this, you reap what you sow. Amen? Praise God. Change number four, changing your mindset. This kind of goes hand in hand with motivation. I remember when Sister Spears was here. I don't know if anyone remembers this, but she talked about seeing blue. That there was a time in life where they were questioning whether people even saw the color blue because they looked in the literature and they never actually said the word blue, but they would make references to the ocean and they would make references to other things, and they never said blue. So just keeping your mindset in a place where you're going to be successful. You know, being a successful parent, changing your mindset. You know, when you're being a parent to a toddler, then all of a sudden you shift to being a parent to a teenager, you have to change your mindset. You can't think the same way. You can't expect to get the same results. You baby talk your kid, they're not even going to take you seriously. That's something I've had to learn, that changing my mindset. This is a learning process, being a parent. Amen? Praise God. And especially when you hit teenagers. You get teenagers, they're constantly throwing you curveballs, and you just have to pray and seek after God's wisdom and change your mindset, because you know the end result is to make them into a responsible young adult, right? So you need to shift in the gear of giving them some responsibility. Praise God. The Bible tells us that a story of a time when there was the disciples were in the ship and they looked out and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Simon Peter stepped out of the water, said, Master, if you bid me come, I'll come. And Jesus said, come. So Simon Peter stepped out of the boat. He had a change of his mindset. He had a trust in God. And that's important that we do trust in God. Number five, I put failure. Success stories are tailored through failure that many do not see or hear. You must realize that For you to be ready for success, you must be willing to fail and to use the letdown as a learning point. My children, whenever they would run into failure, I try to, and maybe they get sick of me saying this, but I always say, did you learn anything? Because that's me trying to say, you know what, maybe you failed, but you know what, let's learn something from this so that we don't continually try to go through it. Amen? Thomas Edison's teachers said he was too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive. As an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts in inventing the light bulb. And one day when a reporter asked, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? Edison replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth 7 times, but he riseth up again. Amen? We are going to fail. It happens. We're human. But you know what? We have to get back up. We have to move forward. We have to keep moving towards God and the cross and remembering the main thing. Praise God. Admitting your mistakes, too. This can be hard, men. You know, sometimes, men, we can be so prideful that we have problems admitting our mistakes. But I think it's even more stupid, if I may, to continue to pour your resources into a mistake and not, you know, even though you know it was a mistake. So admitting your mistakes, that's important. Believe in yourself, step 6. Too often we think that certain things like prayer for others should be done by the pastor. Amen? So sometimes when people come up to the altar, you may see somebody up here praying and you're just like, you know, I know that they have a need, but I'm not going to go pray for them because I'm not the person. But you know what? We have a revival that's coming that's going to be an all-hands-on-deck revival. Amen? And we need to make sure that we are all participating in that. Why not you? Why not? God has made you for the purpose of reaching and seeking and saving that which was lost. Yes, God put the pastor over the church, and we're under his authority. But you know what? We need to learn to operate and to be used in places like the altar or when we reach out into the city. It shouldn't be all on Jerry Simmons' shoulders, the outreach pastor here, to reach out into the city and to bring people into Calvary Gospel Church. But we need to link up together. We need to link up together to do this thing. You know what scares me is that we experienced 9/11, and that was just a ripple effect on our country. Amen? And the Bible is very clear that what is coming in the book of Revelation to each, you know, to this country, to have the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that we're going to see, it's going to take something pretty extreme to get us there. And I believe with all my heart that God has a revival, that God has an outpouring coming to this city and to this country and to this world. And we need to be ready and make ourselves ready. Praise God. So believe in yourself, making yourself the best you can be, training yourself to be able to step in and supporting your pastor. Amen? That's important. We need to learn to do that. Not sitting down at the dinner table and eating for dinner with our children or whatever. We need to support the man of God. Praise God. Adopting morning rituals. Number 7. How you start your day can make all the difference in the world, whether it's through prayer or positive thinking. Both are very critical in being successful. See, if you're going to sit there and you're going to be negative all the time, and in the first place that's going to start is when you wake up. Oh, it's Monday again. No, it's Monday. It's an opportunity to do something great for God. It's Monday. It's an opportunity to go out into the world and do something, to meet somebody. Amen? Yes, sometimes we don't like to drive the belt line, but praise God, he's given us another day to do it, to be able to be with our family. Just look for the positive. Praise God. I hope I'm speaking to somebody here. Praise God. Number 8, targets and goals. We need to set targets and goals. It's important to do that. Again, you know, Pastor talked about vision, and he talked about setting those goals in our spiritual life, setting those things that, you know, praying. He said we need direction when we pray. I remember a time in my life when I first came in the church, and don't think anything less of me, but my prayers consisted of God touch pastor, God touch the Sunday school, God touch this. You know, I had to move beyond that. I had to mature behind that. Okay, God's touching them, but how is he touching them? Okay, God, I need you to touch my pastor today, God. Strengthen him. Give him the courage to continue to fight the good fight, you know, and be more specific in your prayer time. Praise God. So setting targets and goals is important. And it's also important to reflect on those things. Once you've reached those goals, celebrate it. Man, I know that when one of our kids get the Holy Ghost, how many of you, at the very least, let's take them out to Culver's. Let's celebrate something like that. That's an accomplishment, praise God. And that's a goal, you know, that we set, praise God. That's a goal that we set in our home. We need to set those goals. Hey, we want to see our kids saved. We want to see, you know, reaching out to those around us, praise God. So, number 9, facing your fears. This is a difficult one. Praise God. It is human nature to dismiss what we fear most in our lives. The problem is success is more often on the other side of fear. We need to learn that when we're faced with fear, we need to trust God. No great thing in the Bible was ever done without facing the fear. Amen? When I look at the great things, the stories in the Bible, I look at Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel had a choice to make. And he faced his fear. And his fear got him into a situation or a circumstance that seemed unpleasant at the time. But you know what? He trusted God. And God saw him through that. I look at Elijah and the prophets of Baal. How humiliating do you think it would have been for Elijah to sit there and go through the ritual that he went through when they were doing everything that they were doing, if God would have left him hanging? But you know what? He didn't care. He said, I'm trusting you, God. I'm going to face my fear because I know that my God is greater than these prophets. And God saw him through. And I look at David overcoming Goliath. Show me one man that stood up to that giant. It wasn't one, but there was a ruddy boy, the Bible says, who came down and he took up that challenge of Goliath. He faced the fear that nobody else wanted to face. And when we want to go into places that we want to see, you know, the supernatural happen, we need to be willing to face and overcome your fear. Maybe you want to be up here preaching. Maybe you have a call of God to preach the message, the word of God in your life. But you're like, I don't know how to speak to others. I don't know how to get in front of others. I don't want to, you know, embarrass myself. But you have to face that fear. Praise God. Level 10, video game. Number 10, I wrote down commitment. Commitment is huge. Once you commit, stay committed. Praise God. You know, if you commit to a diet intermittently, it's going to take you forever to see the results that you want to see. Amen? How many of you have done that? You're like, you start a diet, you get motivated, but then you don't commit to it. And then you kind of fall off the wagon when somebody brings in donuts to work the next day or whatever. You're like, but I love those donuts, you know? So it's hard. And if all you ever do is pay the minimum payment on your credit card, you never get that paid off either, amen? They get you. Praise God. But once you commit to something, stay committed. Don't back out. You know, maybe God has put a call in your life and you're like, hey, I'm going to commit to this, Lord. Stay with it. Don't give up. Sometimes you're going to have to face and do hard things, but God will be there with you and he'll lead you through. Amen. Number 11, I wrote communication. This is our final point. Speaking your dreams. If you feel called, don't hide it. I've met a lot of people, and I mean this. I've met a lot of people who go through this as their calling. They feel God calling them, but they kind of like shelter it like an egg. They don't want it to get damaged or broken. But I'm telling you right now, if you feel the call of God in your life to go further, go talk to the man of God. Reveal it to him. Let him know your heart and your desire. Let him know what God has laid in your life. This is something you should be proud of. Something that you should present in a what an honor it is to serve God in a pulpit ministry or in a missions ministry or whatever area that God has for you. Praise God. Don't try to hide it. God's called you to go to Bible school. That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. Don't hide it. Communicate it. Speak your dreams. Once you put it out there, you're putting wheels on that bad boy. And you're going to see it grow. And it's going to be an awesome thing that you're going to have in your life once you speak in it. Praise God. There's power in the spoken word. And if our musicians could come at this time, we serve a great God. He has our best interests at heart. Amen? And he wants us to succeed. And he wants us to do great things. Praise God. But we must see that in order to receive those blessings, in order to overcome some hurdles in this life, we must be open to change our perception. I'm not going to say changing our doctrine. I'm not talking about that. You know, there's some things you don't ever change. And that your doctrine, the word of God, should never be one of them. Amen? We don't want to compromise in that area. But I'm talking about reaching this world. Being open to change. Being open to say, okay, we're dealing with a whole new set of people out there with a whole new mindset. We got millennials out there. And they're, you know, I remember coming in the church, and what did we do? We went door knocking. You know, a lot of people nowadays, that's not going to work. I mean, I'm not saying door knocking doesn't work, but we have to come to a point where we change our mentality, where we're open to letting God speak to us and reaching out in different ways. Amen? Praise God. And I believe that's where it's going to take all hands on deck. Like I said, not just a Brother Simmons who's going out and knocking everybody's door and doing, and that's awesome and that's honorable. But you know what? You're the mouthpiece. You're the influence that people see on a daily basis. Amen? Praise God. I hope I don't mess this up because he's right here, but I always like what Brother Hawk has to say. If you keep doing the same dumb things, you're going to get the same dumb results. Amen? In your life, you know, and I think you've said that that's the definition of insanity. If you keep doing the same dumb things, you keep getting the same dumb results. Praise God. If you could please stand. Praise God. And my son, he's not in here right now, but he's in the kids' service. But he had this snaggle tooth. He had a baby tooth that kind of started getting pushed out of the way by another tooth. And that's I jokingly called it the snaggle tooth. But I took him to the dentist, and they said, you know, there's no life in that tooth. It's been disconnected. It's been cut off, right? And in that cutting off process, it's just kind of hanging there. Now, they said that this tooth needs to be removed. So in my parental perception, I started to see dollar signs because the dentist started saying, you need to go see the orthodontist, right? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I need to start, like, trying to convince my son that there's got to be a better way to get this tooth out. So I started trying to bribe my son, started motivating him. I started helping him to see some change in his life. You know what happened today? He let me go in his mouth and give that one last push, and I got that tooth out. And I got a great picture of that when he's sitting there smiling because he knew he was getting something from that. Praise God. But you know what? That old tooth was a baby tooth. And that baby tooth wasn't meant to stay in there forever. It had a purpose. It had a purpose. But at some point, the body said, okay, something new is coming. So it stopped putting life into that baby tooth. It stopped putting the life that it needed into that tooth, and it just kind of hung in there. But you know what? Just like that, I started thinking about that. You know, we can be like that. God wants us to have change in our lives. God is calling us in this church to reach out into this city, to step out in new ways, whether it's pastoring in an outreach or a daughter work, whether it's doing a Bible study, whatever it is. Folks, we can't just sit here idle. We got to step up and to see something great in this church. It's going to take unity. It's going to take unity. That means all of us joining together and doing this together. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to invite everyone here tonight to an opportunity to be able to come up to this altar and to seek after God. Maybe you're struggling with courage to see that some changes in your life. You know, you know that you've been called, but you don't know. You keep running from God's calling, or, you know, wherever God is trying to speak to you, wherever you're at in your life, he's not quitting on you. Don't quit on him. Don't give up on him. Praise God. And I just wonder if there's somebody here today who's never had an experience. They've never been to church before. They've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That should have been step one. Praise God. Because before any other change you try to make in your life, you need to commit your life to living for God. Praise God. He made us. The Bible says he formed us in Genesis 1, 26, 27. God made man from the dust of the ground. Praise God. He made us, and he made us for a reason, and that reason is to serve him, because he is a great God. He is our creator, and he's called us for much better things than the things that the world has to offer. But the enemy come in, and he tried to take away our relationship with God. And God said, no, I'm going to make a way that you can come to be with me. Praise God. So he came to this earth, and he died on a cross. He gave up his life for you and for me. And he has a special gift for you tonight, and you can receive that gift of eternal salvation right here in this place if you come up to the altar and repent of your sins and seek after him and receive his Spirit. And if you're baptized in his name, we have a tank of water behind this wall. You can be baptized right here in this place today. And you can know that you're ready for heaven. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Father's arms
are open. Hallelujah. That's it. Make your way on up to the front. Make your way on up to the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you who are Holy Ghost filled, find someone to pray with. Leave behind find someone to pray with.
Come today, there's no reason to be.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
Lord.
Is calling.
God, you're so good.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy.
God,
from
so
the
good.
Ashes, a new life is
God,
born.
God, you're so good.
Jesus is calling.
Everything that we need.
Oh, hallelujah. Come to
hallelujah,
the altar.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness,
yes, Lord, in your
was
name,
bought
God,
with
your name, God,
the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's
God, you're
arms
so good,
are
God.
Open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious.
That's it. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Pour your heart out to the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank
leave
you, God.
Behind
thank
your
you, God.
Regrets and mistakes.
Oh, what a great God we
come
serve.
Today. There's no reason to wait.